Welcome to Share From Our Hearts. Thank you for joining us yet again and listening through as we share with people, to you, others who are impacted by how the station makes a difference. WJLY is changing lives. Many of these lives will never know about because they'll listen and they'll never call. And they will find the Lord. They'll find greater strength in walking with the Lord. They'll find a resource on this radio station that changes their family or their relation with a child or business or other Christian things. And it impacts us as a staff to know that it's constantly doing good like that. We are thrilled to be talking by telephone with Julie James. Julie did an interview with us on our Lamplighter program, and now she joins us by phone from Nevada. Julie, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome. Hi there.
You have a wonderful story. I was deeply impacted by what went on in your world. Tell our audience about who you are and what you're involved with as a Christian.
It began when I was younger. I was a circus Christian. I was a church on Sunday Christian. And then numerous years ago, my life was impacted when I was handed down a federal prison sentence and had to make some choices. God sat me down and I had to make some decisions of whether I was going to truly and deeply and madly live for him or if I was going to continue on the path that I was on.
Wow. Tell me, when you say circus Christian, you define that briefly, but explain that in detail.
Basically, I was involved in a church doing works rather than committing my full heart to Jesus, and I was involved in women's ministry, outreach ministry, doing all these fabulous works for him and being involved and letting people see, you know, everything I was doing. And it was just on the surface. Nothing was deep into my heart. I was not studying my word and living for him in a way that I should have been living for him.
And you did know true Christianity. I mean, your church and the churches you grew up in taught how to become a Christian with the cross of Christ and faith in the cross. And yet it never impacted you deeply.
No, and I was surrounded by beautiful mentors that were living their lives in that way. Women and men, pastors and their wives that were depositing into my life, planting those seeds on a daily basis, but I wasn't allowing them to take root. They were falling on rocky ground, and they weren't taking root. And I just felt that doing the works that I was doing was enough.
I would think a lot of people can relate to that. In fact, in one sense, every one of us can relate to that, in that we don't take Christ as seriously as we should. What was it that you were missing at the church level and as a Christian, as a circus Christian, that hit you so hard when you had to start serving that sentence?
Well, nothing hit me hard when I was at the church. I was just not allowing things to take root. However, I had a very strong 13-year opioid addiction, and I was numbed by a lot of the pills that I was taking. And I wasn't focused. I wasn't spending daily time with God in his presence and in his word. And then when I hit and self-surrendered and took my federal prison sentence on in Greenville, it was something that I had to face. And I've just started devoting my time and building a routine with him on a daily basis, building my relationship with him.
And I know that you've taken this to another level where you want to build a ministry. I want to go back one more time because you added a new element in there. You shared with us your opioid addiction.
Yes.
There's a tremendous aspect about the Christian walk that if we're not careful, we're going to miss. And that is, first, we accept Christ by faith and faith alone. And it is by the power of the cross. But after that, it is a discipline. Would you agree with me?
Absolutely. Yes, it is a discipline. You have to make a choice. You have to make a deliberate routine with him on a daily basis. You have to begin your day, keep him throughout your day, and end your day with him. You can't just do it on Sundays.
On a huge discipline basis. And I would guess that when you started serving your prison, you knew the opioids had come to an end, I would assume, and now you're facing a whole nother lifestyle you never chose in one sense. You had you had to choose to live or let it go completely. Go through that briefly with us.
About the opioid addiction?
About having to make the real decision. When you knew what it was all about and you made the true decision to follow after Christ, you knew that you would have to fight the opioids, and you are now in prison for a certain number of years as well. You had two big burdens to bear right now. Am I not mistaken?
About having to give up the opioids?
Yes.
And then making a decision. Yeah, it was I was just recollecting that this morning. It was 13 years of taking those pills and numbing myself. And then until the day I self-surrendered. And then it was just cold turkey.
Wow.
And I did spend some time in a pity party of just, you know, woe is me and feeling defeated. But God deliberately placed officers within my path, spiritual leaders that came in and volunteered their time and made it, his divine appointments to
Wonderful.
Lead me back to him.
And when they gave you true wisdom, biblical, and you are now accepting it, very open to it, tell me about the life of a Christian who chooses a life of discipline in order to not, maybe in your case, conquer an opioid addiction, but conquer whatever sin is in their life as well. We have to daily sacrifice ourselves. How does that work?
I think daily sacrifice for Jesus makes all the difference. I feel that we've talked about this before in my last interview with you. Going on a road to become powerful and not pitiful. And you have to make that choice of giving up that time you might be spending doing something that you crave or you don't need, and giving that time to him, and then having a prayerful attitude throughout the day. And then when you're in the midst of that journey that you're in, say federal prison, I was studying in James 1 this morning, and it's whenever you end up in trials, you're to consider it all joy.
Oh, man.
You have to make that choice.
Yes, yes. And I've been a Christian all my childhood and adult life, not because I went to a church, but because my parents took me to churches, Julie, just like yours. I learned, I did accept, my growth was reasonable. Yes, problems and so on. I thank the good Lord I was not able, did not have to fight some of these more difficult ones you did, but we still have the same discipline. We still have the same road, every one of us, to keep going against that sin nature that just pounds at us.
Well, those words in James this morning, as many times as you've probably read them and I've read them, they hit me again this morning. It's not if you face trials, because you're going to face them. It's whenever. That's the key word in that verse. And as you persevere through them, you're not to quit early. You need to let God allow to continue to take you through that journey, whether it be difficulties within your family or workplace or federal prison, and you need to let him finish his work. So you will be complete and spiritually mature in him.
In that fight, so that you don't give up, so you don't become bored, so you don't walk back, tell us what it means when James said, consider it all joy, brothers, when?
Well, it's not to be, it's not for us to pretend to be happy. It's for us to have a spiritual happy outlook and not pretend, just knowing that he's going to carry you through.
It's going to go
knowing
deep.
That you are going to be nurtured and molded and shaped, because we're the clay, he's the potter. So if we're going to be spiritually matured through that trial or tribulation that we're going through.
We're talking with Julie James. She's talking by phone with us. She used to spend time in our listening area. And Julie, I want to get into that a little bit more, of how the station had an impact on your life. We're going to take a break, go to some music, and we're going to come back and find out more about your prison ministry, how radio, Christian radio, affected you, and how you're wanting to impact others that were walking the same walk you were when you were in prison. And so we're going to take a break. When we come back, look for more of that. But would you give us a call at 1-855-955-9883? Join an ever-growing family of listeners who love the station and understand how it's impacting people like Julie, a farmer, a businessman, a young kid, a mother, a father that just went through a divorce. So many things. The reality of human life is confronted by the power of the risen Lord making a difference. Call us at 855-955-9883. Make a faith promise if you would. We would be very grateful, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Share From Our Hearts. Every one of us has a voice, and we can help be your voice to someone else that will never hear the gospel except that they turn on the radio. And we are asking you to be a part of our share to get together with our next budget for the year 2021. Time goes so fast. Make a difference. Would you give us a call at 1-855-955-9883? We are talking with Julie James by phone. She used to live in our area in Greenville, and she's going to explain more of what happened. And for those who may have just joined us, Julie, I'm thrilled to be talking with you. Give us a brief rundown of what just happened and how you spent time in prison here in our listening area. Then you were faced with a prison sentence, and you served time here in our listening area. Is that right?
Yes, I sure did.
And what prison was that?
Greenville.
Okay. Once you got in and they closed the door, what happened next in your world?
I was very motivated. God had dealt with my heart. He had showed me that he had given me my purpose. He had shown me that he was taking me down a path to share my testimony and minister to those girls that were on that compound and make a difference in their lives by way of him. I can't take any credit for him. I give him all the glory for it. But getting involved in ministry, starting a music ministry, starting a newsletter, speaking at different venues within the compound when we had church services, different things like that.
Wow. You decided to make very good eternal use of your time. And tell us about some of the stories without, you know, naming names and such, but people would learn to come to you and trust Julie for how she spoke about Jesus. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think it was me leading by example. God showing me that it wasn't something that I needed to shove down anybody's throat. It was leading them by example, and they could see God in me and want what I had, and God could make that happen. It wasn't something that I could do on my own. I know that I had a couple of different ladies, one lady in her 60s that was serving a federal prison sentence for sports betting, and she had came in as an atheist. She didn't believe in God. She didn't believe there was one, and she just started seeing me with my routine on a daily basis. The compound that we lived in was like a college dorm. It was very open. I'm sure you're aware of it. It's beautiful. There's everything you need that if you want to be involved and be outdoors, you can be out and do those kind of things. But she would see me on a daily basis with my routine, living with me in my Bible every morning, listening to praise and worship music, having... And she wanted that, and she could see my attitude, she could see my character, and she started asking questions, and
wow.
God just opened the door. And one morning on my birthday morning, she had given me a card, and she wrote in it, "I will always remember you as the one who led me to Christ."
Oh, unbelievable! Doesn't that just send shivers up your spine?
I know, it was beautiful, and I mean, I was just like, "What? What did I do?" And she says, "You didn't do anything. I just wanted what you had."
Oh, you could say you need to say that 100 times. I mean, say it at least
1,000
yes.
times wouldn't be enough.
At least say it one more time. How did she see Christ? What did she say to you again?
She said, she wrote in my birthday card, "I will always remember you as the one who led me to Christ." Hmm. And I just broke down in tears. I was so emotional, and I didn't pray with her. I didn't do anything. It was just something that she did on her own. She saw what was in me. She saw my routine. She saw Jesus in me, and that's what she did.
Julie, there are people listening right now. I can't witness. I don't know how to read the. I don't know how to use this verse. I don't know this and that. Julie just walked the walk. She barely talked the talk, and people watched her and started asking her about her faith. Yeah. We need to be walking enough where people ask us about our faith. And so what happened? You had a ministry. You started having, you mentioned a newsletter and other things. How did that go?
I did. I feel like God was preparing me for this all along. He had given me a word one morning to name my ministry Deliberately Graced. And so I started a Facebook blog, and I post on it daily. I do videos. But he was preparing me for the workplace I'm in now. I have many young women that are around me that I'm not talking to them about Jesus on a daily basis, but they started following my blog and my posts. And, I mean, I will get calls or texts saying, I need you to pray with me. Young 20-some-year-old girls that I work with that need Jesus, but they don't realize it, but they see something in me and knowing that I will pray with them, I will uplift them, and it's just God using me in this deliberate position that he's put me in and prepared me for in prison.
So you were reaching out to others through social media, to 20-year-olds and other
yes.
groups, so that you were able to witness outside of the prison through the wonder of digital
yes.
media. Oh man, we all
yes.
have that opportunity now more than ever. To do that. So
I
you're
sure
you're out now, you're free, and your
yes.
commitment and your hope is to do what with what you've learned?
I feel the Lord calling me to write a book, continue my blog, grow it bigger, speak on behalf of him to other women, men, whatever it may be. The doors that he opens for me and the opportunities that he opens for me to share my testimony, share my journey, and just broaden my walk with him by being a disciple for him.
Now that you're able to do what you want, live where you want to be, and so on, how do you stay focused on knowing that if you don't go back to where you were mentally and spiritually, like you were in prison, if you don't go back and keep that mindset, anyone could drift off into things that would take us away from what matters the most.
That's very true, Dick, very. The benefit, the beautiful, beautiful benefit about prison is it removes you from the world, and it takes you out of all the distractions, so you can either choose to be powerful or pitiful, like we've talked before, and you can be powerful for him, you can get yourself in a routine, and then as you start to get the word hidden in your heart, it becomes habitual. There is no other way. When you really get it embedded in your heart and you're studying it on a daily basis and you're living it and not just reading it and let it fall on rocky soil,
yes.
It's habitual. It's something you can't live without.
I'm going to challenge you on that because I agree with you when you say it's habitual. The more we are true Christians living, it's habitual. But at the same time, the most mature Christian can still fall and still make a mistake, and we can't rest on our laurels, can we?
Well, and we're going to make mistakes.
Yes.
That's inevitable. We're going to make those mistakes. It's how we stumble and get back up that makes a difference. When we make a mistake, we trip, we fall, we get back up, we get back in our word, we get back in our prayer life with him, and we talk to him, and we allow him to guide us. Because we have those routines that we've gotten in with him and that discipline to know that that mistake doesn't define us.
We're talking with Julie James. Your Facebook name, did you mention, was Deliberately Graced, ED, at the end?
You can find me on Facebook. It's hashtag Deliberately Graced. All one word, and I can give you the link
yes.
to put on your site.
Yes, and we'll do that here and when we can later on, too. But I really appreciate being able to talk with you. Would you talk to prisoners who right now, I think we have about 5 or 6 prisons in our listening area. I'm sure we're having yes. several are listening from the Vandalia prison to maybe Taylorville, Greenville, and so on. Speak to the one that knows what you knew when they walked in, and they're going to have to fight the same fight because when they get back out, If they go back to the same territory, same lifestyle, they're just going to revert. They've got to find this same inner God-given, Holy Spirit-driven strength that you have, or else they'll revert. Talk to them about that.
Well, what I would say to them is that whatever is offered at your facility, grasp onto it, and then take it from that service that you go to, take it back to your room, take it back throughout the compound, stay in your word, and read it until it starts to set in and starts to flower and to bloom, and make sure that you are listening and talking to God and listening to what he tells your heart, and not to be discouraged. Whatever mistake that you've made that has landed you where you're at, it doesn't define you. It can actually blossom you and make you better than you were before.
I agree with
you. You can go out powerful and not pitiful. It's not necessary to go back and be the same individual that you were before. God has plans for you, and you can find those plans in Jeremiah 29:11.
Every one of us, whether we're free or not physically, we have to find the faith in Christ deeply because of what he's done for us. Simple to become a Christian, but extremely serious. And you have to find the deep discipline to stay with, knowing that when you flip, when you get off, Christians or the Word or others will get you back in, focusing deeply on what I call a deeply private relationship with God, when it is rooted in the true privacy of you and the Creator, God himself, then it blossoms out to where others will ask what these women were asking, Julie, tell me about your life. And I pray so many will learn this. And Julie, you are starting a ministry, and you're hoping to do what with the ministry in the years to come?
I'd like to continue to reach out to those who are the underdogs, who are maybe the lost, and who have, I think it's a glorious thing to make a mistake and not be defined by it. And my hope is to let them know that there is a beautiful journey ahead of them, and they don't have to be defeated and live a defeated life once they pass through those mistakes that they've made. I feel it's important to reach out to those who are hurting, who are lost, who are the underdogs, those that are forgotten. And that's what I hope to do with my ministry.
I'm sure you've talked to some who say, God can't save me.
I've heard that before.
What do you say back?
That's a lie from the devil, from the pit of hell. That is something that the devil tries to prowl about and tell us, and it's not true.
Julie James, thank you so very much. I pray that the words you just spoken will go in like soft, gentle daggers into our soul, that we'll find the true love of a personal God who so deeply wants us to be in the house of God with him forever, that he was willing to go through a hellish death on the cross to make it possible. And the love that he showed should compel us all to stand strong spiritually, with a backbone from the strength of the living God, and do what I know you're doing and others need to do as well. Thank you very much for being with us, Julie, and we're going to pray for your future in the days to come.
Thank you so much, Dick. I enjoyed being here. Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Share, and we'll be right back. The number to call is 855-955-9883. Thank you for joining us.